Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Have you ever watched those old reality TV shows where the challenges come and part of the challenge is sliding through the mud and the contestants just get completely covered in mud from head to toe? I know there's kids' versions of that. Of course, kids don't get covered in mud. They get covered in slime on those TV shows. I don't know if I could do it. I don't like being all muddy. I'm a clean man. I like being clean. But even more important than being clean on the outside is being clean on the inside. And I think this picture of being covered in mud or slime is very appropriate for us in our fallen world. Because spiritually, we can kind of get muddy or we can kind of get slimy. And if you think it's uncomfortable to be covered in mud, what about spiritual slime? I don't want to be covered in that at all. We want to be holy. We want to be striving for pleasing the Lord in every way possible. But this world is a slimy place and the Lord has us in it. You remember the warning in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I just want to observe that as he talks about our battle against the world, these elements that are mentioned, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions, they're all around us. All the time, right? And of course, our own heart with its remaining sin is drawn to it, but the world is putting the big billboards up to our flesh every day, every week, every month, every year, and sometimes you're just worn out. Jesus acknowledged this in John 17 when he was praying for future disciples, including you, including me, if we're believers in Christ. And one thing that Jesus said in his prayer was in John 17, verse 14 and following, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not from the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus knew this world was going to be a tough place, and yet that's where his disciples do their thing. We shine against the backdrop of this fallen world. And he says, yeah, I know that. I'm praying for you. I'm not praying that you'll be taken out of the world, but that you will be protected or kept from the evil one. I mean, Satan wants to take your face and shove it in the mud every day. But you know what? Sometimes we do sin, even as believers, even as those that have walked with the Lord for a long time. What about when you step into the mud? And your shoe is covered. Oh, yuck. Don't you hate it when the mud is extra thick and there's like almost suction, right? And your shoe is sucked right off of your foot and maybe you've got a sock on or maybe you've just got bare feet and your whole foot is slimy with the mud. Sometimes we don't just step in it. We don't just have a misstep. Sometimes we kind of topple over and fall. You just can imagine being a little bit too close to the edge of the mud or the slime, and you take a little misstep and you actually fall into it. But I hate to say, there are also times where it's like we go on the slip and slide of satanic slime. We actually plunge right into it. You feel terrible. Your conscience is crying out against you, screaming its warnings, its alerts. What do you need? I mean, you feel guilty because you are guilty, right? It's not just some psychological disorder or something. No, you blew it. And your conscience is telling you the truth when it's saying that you have sinned terribly. Well, what do you need in a time like that? Here's what you need. You need the gospel. Wait, the gospel? What are you saying? Are you saying I'm not a Christian? Because I am, pal. I'm the real thing. We're not just talking about those Southern fried Christians, right? The ones who've maybe prayed the prayer and walked the aisle. I was like that. When I was 8 years old, I walked the aisle in my church during a revival meeting. There's no change of life. I knew some right things. My parents raised me right, so I had a conscience. I knew right and wrong. I was still in church. I knew the Sunday school answers to the questions, but there was no desire to live for Jesus. There was no change of life. There was no invasion of the Holy Spirit, right? Starting to bear fruit in my life until I was a teenager, a few years later down the road. But what if you're the real thing? You're a Christian. You love the Lord, but the slime stains are saying you haven't been acting like it. What do you need? What do you need? I know that the non-Christians need the gospel, but why did you suggest maybe I need the gospel as well? Well, you know, the gospel is not just the start of the Christian life. In fact, it is the whole foundation of the Christian life. All of the commands of the scripture are outworkings of the gospel's foundation in a person's life. This is a huge observation from the pattern of scripture. How many of the letters that Paul and the other apostles write start by reviewing the gospel and maybe some of the blessings of the gospel? And they want to make sure that the readers, even longtime Christians, go back to basics, right? Here's where it starts. Here's who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, on the basis of that, let's work out that gospel foundation in reality. I think a beautiful picture of that is in the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. In chapters 1-3, it's all about gospel foundations. Is it? I think there may be one command in the first three chapters, but when you get to chapters 4, 5, and 6, that thing is loaded with commands. In fact, it can be tempting in your Bible reading to just say, I just want to know what to do. I just need to know what to do. Let me just skip over 1-3 and let's just start at chapter 4 and go, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. But there is a danger in doing that. The Holy Spirit did not make a mistake when he inspired Paul to start with 1, 2, and 3 before he gets to 4, 5, and 6. But we have to say that that is very intentional. And when you get to chapter 4, verse 1, listen to this power pivot toward action. Paul says, I therefore, right? He's been talking about the gospel blessings, 1-3. Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk. Walk is the lifestyle word. This is how you live. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. What is that calling about? That's the gospel blessings. In other words, built now squarely on the foundation of the gospel, we can go to work in what your life is supposed to look like. But even still, Paul's not done. All through Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, there are flashbacks to the gospel and flashbacks of Christ. It's all over the place. Just one example, Ephesians 4, 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Don't just assume the gospel. You need to return to the gospel, and we need to do it again and again. I really appreciate Jerry Bridges. He wrote a wonderful book that really impacted me early in my Christian life called Pursuit of Holiness, still a great one. But later on, he says, you know what? I think I may have forgotten to remind my readers of the gospel foundation. I got right to the action. And so some of his later books included the phrase, preach the gospel to yourself every day. And again, when you first hear that, you go, wait a minute, I'm already a Christian. Why do I need to do that? Why do I need to go back to basics? Well, we need to take a break. But after we come back, we're going to talk more about the functional benefits of the gospel for the slimy Christian. Maybe for you, maybe for me. This helps us. This encourages us greatly. We'll be back after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Crotts in just a moment. Well, I think maybe we need to admit that there are days where the metaphor doesn't just feel like a metaphor, right? The mud, the slime, that's not an illustration. That's a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Look, I get it. We don't wake up determined to rebel against God today. It's not even some dramatic act of disobedience for the majority of us. It's just a slow slug. That's what Dr. Crotts is talking about. And the longer we wait to deal with it, the heavier it's going to sit on us. If you don't take care of it right away, it's going to start to set in. That's exactly what sin does. And that's why we don't outgrow the gospel ever. It's not just the entrance into salvation. It's the whole posture of our life. If that hits pretty close to home today, if you're listening and you're thinking, yeah, that's me, don't get discouraged. Don't look away. You're not the exception. You're not the failure case. That's why Jesus came. And honestly, that's why Integrated exists, because we need voices like Dr. John Crotts helping us to see how sound theology isn't just some clean, sterile thing you store away in your head, but it's the very truth that pulls us out of the mud and teaches us how to walk again. That's what Fortis Institute is committed to producing and teaching. Content that is rich and biblical and actually helps you live. If our content has been doing that for you, we would love to invite you to walk alongside of us, stand with us, link arms with us, because we don't run ads around here. We don't sell your email address. The only reason that this all stays free is because of gospel partners, men and women just like you, who are already faithfully giving to their local church, but have said, I want to help more people hear this. Let me go back to that local church thing. You got to be doing that first. If you're not already giving to your local church, don't give to us. Not going to hear very many ministries say that, but this ministry is definitely going to say that, because your local church is your number one priority in your life. And if you are giving to your local church faithfully, and there's some margin for you to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would love to link arms with you. Just head to FortisInstitute.org right now to see what it would look like in your life to join us. And while you're there, don't forget about Fortis Plus. Download it. It's totally free. No subscriptions, no credit card nonsense. We add new content every single day to the already hundreds of hours of content that's already there. Check it out at FortisPlus.org. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Crotts right now. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Welcome back. Today we are talking about the slime of the world, the slime of the devil, the slime of our flesh. And even true believers can get stuck in the mud sometimes. What do we do? And what we've said is you need to go back to the gospel. And I was showing that the letters in the New Testament are filled with gospel pivots, where they begin talking about salvation blessings, and then they pivot with a big therefore. Based on what we've said, now let's go to work in pursuing holiness. We need to go back to the gospel day by day and remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us. It's not about your performance. Okay, yes, you want to please the Lord, but you don't want to please the Lord to try to earn his favor or keep his favor, as Jerry Bridges has taught us in a number of his books over the years. We want to pursue the Lord because we have his favor, and that is found in the gospel. Another big, powerful gospel pivot is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Okay, that's all of these salvation blessings of Romans 1 through 11. Because of all that, let me tell you this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So if you've had a little slime, if you've stepped in the mud, let's just work this out a little bit. Let me just take you back to basics, back to the gospel, and remind you of what Christ has done for you and what difference that makes. I mean, you're feeling guilty, you're feeling low, you're feeling spiritually deflated, but the gospel is what encourages us, okay? Romans chapter 8, that's where I want to go. Romans 8, my favorite chapter in the Bible, yours too, if you've really studied it, I'm sure. Romans 8, 1 starts like this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You kind of have to know the woe of condemnation before this verse makes sense. And of course, in Romans 1 through 3, Paul's been talking about the universal condemnation of all people everywhere. We are locked under sin. You do it. I do it. The Jews have done it. Those that know the right things, the moralists, they've done it. They've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve God's deepest wrath. And yet in Christ Jesus, because of what he's done in the cross and in the resurrection, you've received the free gift of his righteousness. And now you can listen to these words. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, you feel bad. Yes, relationally, there's some mud to clean up and to confess to the Lord. But we need to remind ourselves that ultimately, we have no condemnation because of Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. Therefore, even the sins that you have yet to commit, but you will commit, are not going to condemn you to hell because Jesus took that hell for you. Praise God. It's so good to be reminded of these glorious gospel truths. Slide down in Romans 8 a little bit. Come with me to verse 31. This is almost like the grand finale of the greatest chapter in the Bible. Again, it's just my own observation, but it's also the observation of many people that really have dug into this. This is the great eight, Romans chapter 8. So when you get to verse 31, Paul's coming to his climax. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So he's starting to load up a little bit in this climax. You're feeling bad. You're feeling guilty. And the devil's right there whispering to you, you are guilty, right? Here you are. You feel bad because you are bad and you deserve hell just like me. Ha, ha, ha. That's what the devil likes to tell us. But now think about it. You're about to come to the courtroom. You're about to face God as the judge, right? You know that you've blown it. You know that you've believed in Christ, but how's this going to go? And Paul tells you, I'll tell you how it's going to go. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, you're going to step before the judge. Guess what? That judge is for you. That judge is on your side. Who's going to be against you? Over the years, I've used illustrations about sports, and I talked about having, what if you had a pickup game of soccer in the park, and you know, Lionel Messi has an off day. He's a long time, you know, one of the best soccer players in the world. And he just, on his off day, decides to come to the park to play. And he gets on your team. Well, guess what? If Messi is on your team at the park, you have a really good chance of winning, right? Well, how much more is it if God is on your team? If God is for you, who is going to be against you? And Paul goes on, verse 32, Romans 8. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Paul says, all right, let's think about it. What has God already given to you, brother, sister? What has he already given to you? He's given you his own son. And even the way he puts it here, he didn't spare his own son, right? So he didn't just give him to you in the sense that, hey, you get to spend the day with Jesus today. That would be great. But no, he didn't spare him. In other words, he gave him to you at the cross, all of the sufferings necessary to pay the price for your sins, including the slime that you're wearing, maybe even right this moment. Jesus was given to you by God. And now, because he's given you the best gift of all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Right? God's going to give you everything. He's given you the best. An illustration I like to use is, suppose you were given a brand new Tesla, right? An electric car. It's beautiful. It's brand new. It's got all the bells and whistles. A friend of mine has a Tesla. He says, it's like a computer on wheels. It's so great and so fascinating. But then suppose you never drive the Tesla that's been given to you because you don't think that you can afford the electricity to charge that thing. You say, well, listen, if your friend gave you a Tesla, isn't he going to give you enough extra to run that thing? You know, you've got a great gift and now this little small gift so that you can make full use of the great gift. Of course, he's going to give you that as well. His intention is not just that you have a cool car in your driveway. His intention is that you would drive it. I know it's an illustration, but think about this. God gave you Jesus. Of course, he's going to give you everything else. He's given you the best. Okay, Paul's not done. All right, let's keep going. Couple of hypothetical questions here. Verse 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, right? You just want to yell glory at this point. This is incredible. Who's going to bring any charge against you? God is the one who's the judge, and he's the one who saved you. He's the one who gave you Jesus. And Paul said, great, let's just break this down a little bit. Christ Jesus is the one who died, right? All that was necessary to satisfy God's wrath against your sin and your slime, Jesus Christ paid for at the cross, but he didn't stay dead. More than that, who was raised. Wow, he was resurrected from the dead, and that makes all the difference. But he didn't just walk around risen. He's now exalted at God's right hand, mission accomplished. And then it even says, who indeed is interceding for us. He's even talking to God about you. God may say, oh, look, here's a slimy child. Did I save my receipt on saving him? No, God doesn't say that. But even if he did, Jesus is right there to say, no, I paid for all that slime. Paid in full. Here's your receipt. It's paid in full. All that was nailed to the cross, and it was nailed to my body. And I bore your wrath for that sin. That's the gospel. It's the gospel which which cleanses our conscience, as Paul says, not Paul, but the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 9, 13 and 14. You need a clean conscience. Let's go back to the gospel and let's now not just sit back and say, great, now it's all covered. I can live however I want to. Now let's say, let's go serve our King. Let's put our faith into action because we love the Lord who saved us.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.